Began discussing last week. We were discussing last week the Gemara's Havamina that there could be kedushin bal korcha. Again, here on base of a base, the Gemara says v'nisni ha'ish kone, nisna hachi ha'ish kone. So the Gemara says mishum v'kabay l'misna seifa. The reason that we don't is because of the seifa, which says v'kones atzma bedida, tananami reisha bedida. Therefore, we focus on her rather than him. Then the Gemara says v'nisni ha'ish kone umakne. Let's say that the focus should be on him, and still we can read the seifa because all we need to say is that he's kone umakne. So the Gemara says v'shum dika misa sabal delav iu kamakne min shmai yehuda kamakne la. So the Gemara says that Misa Sabal doesn't fit into that picture, and we talked about that a little bit, not for now. But then we did talk about was the next part. The Gemara says, Ibai Seima Itan Akona Havamina Afilo Bal Karcha, that you might have thought that he could impose his will upon her in the context of marriage. Tano Isha Niknes to Midaita In Shalom Midaita Lo. Therefore, the Torah tells us that Kiddushin has to be an agreed upon contract. It's not something that can be forced into coercively or under duress. Okay. And then the Gemara goes on and says some of the other things that we've talked about already. We don't need to repeat that. Okay. So we were in the middle of discussing the significance of this little section in the Gemara. The Gemara's considering of the possibility that Kiddushin could be imposed against her will, and the Kamash Malan that it cannot. So what we did last week was to discuss the following. What the problems are of Kiddushin Bal Karcha, and we explained what they are. Kinyanim typically require Das. What I was trying to say is there's no Mitzarev, there's no mechanism even for one to impose will upon the other, unless it's an effect-oriented halacha or something where there's already a relationship between the parties, and you can speak then about a dominance of one over the other, right? You don't have that here. And then there's also a policy consideration, and that's what the Meiri says very succinctly, Shelo hinach de basla Avram Avinu, meaning you've almost like invited problems and abuse. You've opened up a Pandora's box by suggesting that somebody could force someone into such a significant relationship. And you basically put a target on anybody who's a desirable partner for marriage by doing that. So it seems inconceivable that there should be a serious possibility. Some of the Rishonim try to get out of it by suggesting that we do have a paradigm of Bal Korcha, of a Kinyan under duress in the context of Ishus and Yibum, in Gittin, right, to be Yibma, B'Shilcha. So maybe, since Yibum isn't far from Kiddushin, and Gittin is the parallel opposite, but we learn Dinim V'Yatzav Haisa from Gittin to Kiddushin, so maybe it's not so crazy after all that there would be such a notion. And quite a few Rishonim make this suggestion, especially some of the Chachmei Provence. They consider it very, very seriously. Nonetheless, either way, if you take that reading of the Gemara, the Havamina is more difficult than the Maskana. The Maskana just says that midaita in shalom midaita lo, and that seems fairly obvious. But we again discussed last week was the other side of it. And we also explained why Yibam and Gittin should be different, because there is a previous relationship. Maybe it isn't a full Kinyan. Various explanations. But we began to discuss last week, in the end, was a second perspective in how to read this Gemara, according to which it is not the Havamina that is Mechudash, that is innovative, it's the Maskana. Because the Gemara never really thought that you could be Mekadosh and Isha Bal Karcha for all the reasons that we discussed, or at least for one of them. One of them is enough. Probably all of them are true. Rather, according to the Rajba, and others picked up on this, what the Gemara thought was that the rules that allow for a more flexible das, if you will, meaning that sometimes when you agree to something under pressure, that too is considered to be an agreement, those rules should apply to Kiddushin. That's if you look at the Rajba here, sorry, if you look at the Rajba here, in the sheets that we began to use last week. So it is on page, what is it, 2? Right, the Rajba says, V'yesh misha hiksha, afil tanya v'ish kone, heichav asokadaitach t'niknes balkorchav. Even if it had said the words a'ish kone, why would anybody seriously entertain the notion that Kiddushin could be balkorcha v'isha? Geheichi matzinu makne balkorcha. He phrases it just in terms of kinyanim. Where do you find that somebody, relinquishes their rights against their will, and that that's legally acceptable? So the Rajba says, "V'ishtamitete talui v'zavin zvini zvini, v'talui v'kadish kiddusha kiddushin." But in those words, what he's really saying is that the Gemara's Havamina was not that an absolute balkarcha would be effective in kiddushin. The Gemara's Havamina is that a pressured agreement, which, and this is the key point, which is effective in civil, legal circumstances, in other words, in the world of Choshen Mishpat, talui v'zavin, zvini, zvini, if a person is pressured, but in the end he succumbs or relinquishes, but he agrees, he says, okay, I'm going to go along, I'm not thrilled, but I'm going along. That is considered a sufficient agreement. And the question is, what about Kiddushin? Why is that work generally? As the Rajba paraphrases, the agavonse dezuze gomre umakne nafsha kamemar. Because in the end of the day, he comes to an agreement. And according to a memar, that's enough. The islay hachim beperikheskas abatim. That's what he says. If you look down a couple of the next entrance, it's amar avuna talui v'zavin zvini zvini. This is the Gemara Bava Basra. If a person pressures the other fellow, he threatens him, and he ultimately agrees under pressure, the sale is effective. My taima called the maz beininish ilav the onis labamal. So first the Gemara thought this is a universal. People don't let go of their objects, right, except under pressure. As I mentioned last week, that's a certain philosophy. It doesn't see commodities or ownership as merely the accumulation of fungible, value. It really sees ownership as something that is a legal, relationship and a meaningful one. Again, you could have thought that, and you could think that, it's not all fungible or all, a nostalgic or a deep, profound, relationship such that the default is you don't let anything go, unless you're pressured either to put food on the table or because you found a better offer and so on and so forth. You might have thought that it depends on your economic circumstances, it depends on the type of object and ownership that we're talking about, and so on and so forth. That's certainly also very reasonable. But just a fascinating little point in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, V'afil ha'chi zvine, zvine. So the Gemara challenges it and says, V'dil b'shani onsed enaf shemi onsed achrini, which might be the Gemara's way of saying that this whole idea is totally wrong, or that the idea is right, but there's still a huge difference between internal pressure and external pressure, right? If I decide that, I want to acquire something more valuable or more necessary, or that my circumstances are such that it's worthwhile for me to part with something, even if you consider that to be duress, that's still different than somebody else's agenda, right, being worked upon me. Ella, Kedetanya, says the Gemara, Ella Svarahu, Agavonse Gomer Matne. Meaning, this fellow is not admirable, no one thinks he's a gentleman, but in the end of the day, an agreement, even under pressure, is still an agreement because the person could still hold out. You could still say no under any conditions, and then he's forced to steal it from you. Since he's not forced to steal it because eventually you gave in, even though you gave in only because it was your better option under the circumstances, so that's considered to be b'di'eved sufficient ratzah. So then the Gemara says, v'amar ha'meimar talui v'kadosh kiddushim kiddushin. The same case in kiddushin will work as well. In other words, if somebody pressures a woman to be miskadeshes, and in the end she agrees, even though it's after being pressured, that works. And then the Gemara says, Mar Baravashi Amar Beisha Vadai Kedushin Lohava. It does not work in Kedushin. But the reason is because who asa Shaloka Hogan, Lefikach Asu Imo Shaloka Hogan. In Dine Mamanis, it's one thing. But in Ishus, this is unseemly. It's not appropriate. And therefore, to protect her, we've decided not to validate this Kedushin. So the Gemara says, Vafkin Rabbanu the Kedushin Minei. And therefore, they uprooted the Kedushin, meaning, what's another way of saying, according to Rav Ashi, that in principle, the level of Das and Ratzon, at least as far as this halacha is concerned, is equal to that of Kosher Mishpat. However, there's a policy factor that is being employed here, and that is Afkinu Rabban on the Kedushin Minei. Then the Gemara follows us through, Amalei Ravina the Rav Ashi, as it always does whenever the Gemara has this principle of Afkinu, Tanach the Kaddish Bekaspa, the Kaddish Bebiya Maikel Meimar. That's fine if the Kiddushin is with Kasev. If the Kiddushin is with Bia, what are you going to say? Amalei Shavu Abai Labilaso Bilas. It's fine. So what the Rajba is basically doing, now go back to the Rajba, is invoking this Gemara. This Gemara, not necessarily connected to our Gemara in any way.
Well, what's the problem with Kodesh Bebiya? I mean, so Afkin Rabbanu Kiddushin Minei. What's the difference?
So that, I don't want to get to that right now, but it's easy to say, according to the Rabbosav Shel Rashi, Rabbosav Shel Rashi said Kiddush HaKesef is Rabban.
Yeah.
So then we say, oh, Hemamru V'Hemamru. That's the mechanism. Kiddush HaBiya is Doraisa. How do they undermine that? That's how Rabbosav Shel Rashi read. According to Rashi, who disagrees with Rabosav, he says another simple pshat. Tanach the Kaddish Bekaspa, there's a mechanism that Bezin can use to undermine that, even if it's Daraisa, and that is Hefker Bezin Hefker. It's not your money anymore, so the condition's not Chal. But the Kaddish would be a Maikel Meimar, then the Gemara gives sense. It's still an interesting question because we say Shabu Rabbanu Bilas Bilas Nus. That is true in a way in Kaddish Bekaspa too. In most cases. In this particular case in Baal Basra, not so much. Baal Basra here is going forward. In other words, he was Mekadosh HaSisha under duress. We're saying, not for a single minute does this Kedushin get off the ground. So then you have to read it in a more limited fashion. The other cases, Afkinu in the Gemara, there are two cases of going forward. One is Baal Basra, the other is Yevamos, Afkofir, a similar case. The other cases in Shas, aren't so many others, but Ksubis and Sholeach and another place in Yevamos, they're all places where Afkinu is Lamafreya. Which means they're married for 50 years and then all of a sudden we're saying Afkinu. So then the Rishonim say, well, even if you're Kaddish Bekaspa, what about all those years that they were living together seemingly Beheter and now we're being Oker all of that Lamafreya, so it's all Be'isr. What are you going to do with that? And why is that any worse, or any better, I should say, than, you know, Tanach to Kaddish Bebiya? So there the Rishonim say there's still a difference between the collateral damage, I mean the agav damage, right, which is an indirect result, in other words. Now they are Oker, Lamafreya, the Kiddushei Kesef. And it turns out they were living inappropriately all those years. That's different than, you know, the undermining of the Daraisa or the Maisa's, turning a Maisa Kedusha into a Maisa's Nus and its root. So that's all part of the discussion of that sugya. Yeah?
How does that have to do with Meshat Anibach?
Meshat Anibach?
Yeah.
You mean in general? You're asking Tali Vizavazavan
now?
Yeah. So there's such a thing as a Mesiras Moda'a, and there are rules for that. Mesiras Moda'a means that if you, let's say you're scared, you want to register your disapproval or your lack of sincerity, but you don't want to do that, you know, necessarily. You don't want to refuse because, you know, the pressure is too great, let's say. So that's called Mesiras Moda. And there are rules for Mesiras Moda, being able to undermine what seems otherwise like a rot zone, you know, etc. That's one. Mishata Anibach is also a similar idea, but that's usually in the context of Hodas. That's a phrase that we usually use in context of Hodas Baldin. We say Hodas Baldin Kemedim Dami. So let's say this guy says and makes a statement, I did this, I did that, I'm liable for this, I'm liable for that. Then can he turn around and say, it was all an exaggeration, or I had some other reason why I was, you know, grandstanding in that way. Can he say, Mishata Ni Bach? We'll get to it again, actually, because I want to talk about Samechei a little bit. That's Meshat Anibach. And then you have to have, again, you know, there are conditions that we believe in and there are conditions that we don't believe in. So it's a parallel topic. But, yeah.
Similar to
Asmachta
too, I guess.
Yeah. Asmachta is also something where it's kind of mugzam or hyperbolic. So
we did not touch last week on Kavumeta as a possible reason for going through it.
The Rishonim don't really say that here. Tavlameta of Tandum and the Mesa of Armelo usually applies in the context of a marriage, you know, that has already taken place. Or the assumption that somebody on behalf of the woman, you know, would be you know, would be making a decision that is proper for her, because we say Tavlameta of Tandum and the Mesa of Armelo. But what it does, some of the Rishonim raise it, but what it doesn't seem to ever work, you can't, that doesn't mean you can impose something against one's will.
But she's consented.
What?
She has consented.
In which case?
In this case?
It's only if it's Talui V'Zavn Zvini Zvini. But if it's Talui V'Zavn Zvini Zvini, then you don't need anything beyond that anyway. What do you need Tavlameta of Tandum and the Mesa?
We're countering it by saying...
Oh, I see. Right. Well, again, because she doesn't really want it, so... Tavlameit of Tandum and the Mates of Armelo is a way of compensating for not knowing fully or making even a presumption that most people wouldn't want this situation. So we say Tavlameit of Tandum and the Mates of Armelo. But if she, if somebody's in the initiation of the Kenyan, somebody's expressing their discontent, right? That's a different situation. There's no prior agreement.
Didn't we have this at one point when we talked about that sometimes you can use it as a kafiyah kind of argument. It's not a necessarily personal, subjective kind of argument.
Well, it may not be subjective, but that doesn't mean that it can create Haskama where there is none, or Haskama where there's on the contrary, a disagreement. Right? It has its limits. It should have its. It's mechudash. So, you know, I wouldn't say in the Chabala chidusho completely, but it's definitely not going to be effective in a situation where there's no prior agreement and there's opposition to one. There, it's certainly not going to work. Okay. Anyways, if you look carefully, what the Rajba did in this Gemara was quite remarkable, because what he said was, all we have is one line, you know, itana, you know, ha'ish kona hava min afil bal karcha, kamashvila midaita, you know, isha niknes, midaita in shalom midaita lo. Right? So what he's doing, the Rajba, out of necessity from his point of view, because he's saying, what kind of hava mina is that? We take hava minas, lines, suggestions in the Gemara that need to refuting, we take them very seriously, as you can see. The Rajba took it so seriously, and since he thought it was inconceivable that you could have a Kiddushin Bal Karcha, so he was looking around for the next best thing. What would the Gemara call Bal Karcha? Right? That isn't really Bal Karcha. Right? So the answer is totally Vizavin Zvini Zvini. So that's where he brought in the Sugin Bal Basra. But in the Sugin Bal Basra, there's a whole dynamic there. There's Mar Bravashi. I'm sorry, there's a Maymar, who says we treat Kiddushin like any other Kenyan. And there's Mar Bravashi, who came up with the idea of Afkin Rabbanu LeKiddushin Mineh. So that's really what's going on in these few lines in the Gemara and Kiddushin? The answer for the Rajba is yes. That's what the next words are. The Dukya Dehochi Kravashi Asya. I'm going back to the Rajba now. Meaning, when the diuk in the Gemara, based on the language of the Mishnah, it doesn't say Oish Kona, it says Oisha Niknes, right, is supportive of Ravashi's view. The Amemar Mataris, so what will Amemar do? In other words, the Rajba has so integrated these two topics, even though, right, linguistically there's no connect, it's all through logic and the process of elimination. I'm not questioning it. I'm just telling you it's an interesting phenomenon, how he got it. And others picked up on it and accepted it too. So what he's saying is that ad kedei kach, that we now have to explain this Gemara according to Amemar. Because Amemar says that what? That taluya v'kaddish is kiddushin. So that's what he explains. He has Amemar mitaritz kitei rutsakama mishum de tana seifa b'dida kanal. Kaniskalel, meaning, you're right, this part of the Gemara only works according to Rav Ashi, not according to Omeymar. Wow. But if you ask me, I'm not sure if this is better or worse, but, you know, it's certainly different. Once you take the Rajba's view, which is that Balkorcha here doesn't mean Balkorcha, meaning unalterable opposition. It means pressure. It means Taluy V'Zavin. So then you might say that this Gemara is saying something more fundamental. It's not exactly saying what Rav Ashi is saying either. Where's the Afkin Rabban on the Kiddushim name? Maybe what it's saying is, even if in Choshen Mishpat, right, you can get away with pressure, even though it's not very nice, but b'di'eved, zvini zvini, agabonse, gomer makne, but maybe when it comes to ishus, where the stakes are much higher, and where the level of consent needs to be much more positive and much more unambiguous, maybe here it just doesn't work. In other words, if you really think that this is what the Gemara is talking about, it could be an alternative to Rav Ashi. In other words, the same shita, but for a different reason. And what's interesting about that is the Rambam. Because the Rambam in Perek Dalet, Hukos Ishus Halacha Aleph, skip over the Gemaras that I just mentioned, right, that we just read. So the Rambam says, Eina Isha Miskadeshes Ela Lirtzona, right? And then he adds, V'ha Mekadesh Isha Bal Korcha Eina Mekudeshes. Number one, it's like, it's an interesting double formulation, seemingly superfluous, right? We need her Ratzon, and we can't be Mekadesh or Bal Korcha. Interesting. And then he says, Aval ha'ish shansu ad shekideish bal karcho harezim ukudeshes. If you pressure the man into marrying her, that does work. Right? So, what is all this in the Rambam? So, a lot of the Mefarshim explain, certainly the continuation of the Rajba, which we're going to get back to in a second, that the Rambam also is locating this sugya of Kiddushe Isha Bal Korcha Chor Midaita, right? The first topic, the first shak, that shak of the Tari in the beginning of Masachet Kiddushin. The Rambam is also linking it up with Bava Basra, Taf Mem Ches. Now the Rambam came before the Rajba, as you understand. Okay, fine. That's maybe the reason for the double language. Eina Isha Miskadesha Selner Tzona, right? Aisha Niknes Midaita In Shalom Midaita Lo. That's what the words mean. And then, HaMekadesh Yishaval Korcha Enem Mekudeshes. Even Zvini Zvini doesn't work. Even though normally, right, in Dini Mamanis, it does. HaGavon Tzegamer Makni. But the fascinating thing about this is, two things. Aval HaIshan Suad Shikadesh Bal Korcho is Mekudeshes. Presumably that's at least a case where he ends up saying that he wants to do it, or under pressure, right? So why the difference between the man and the woman? Get to that in a second. So, but the bigger point, and this is connected to this point too, is what's the reason that it doesn't work for Isha? You would have thought that the Rambam would have, if he was using the Gemara in Bava Basra and Rav Ashi, what should he have said? Afkin Rabbanu l'kiddusha minei. So the answer to that question is either going to solve it or make things more intriguing. And that is, the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, as I've said many times, never quotes Afkid Rabbanon L'Kiddushin Binei. Even in the cases that the Gemara called, like this is one of them, Afkid Rabbanon L'Kiddushin Binei, the Rambam doesn't quote it. Now why doesn't he quote it? Because he believes it, but he doesn't want to talk about it? That might be the reason. In which case here, we're left with the same conclusion as the Rajba. Namely, what the Rambam is telling us is that this is Rav Ashi in Bava Basra. Or is the reason that the Rambam never quotes Afkinu here or elsewhere, because although he finds ways to justify the psakim of the Gemara that the Gemara links to Afkinu, the Rambam thinks that lahalacha we don't say the mechanism of Afkinu. Right? That's my suspicion. In some of the cases, it's certainly the case, where the Rambam, you know, seems to be justifying or validating a psak that the Gemara links to Afkinu to something else. If the Rambam thinks that Afkeinu is not nifsak lahalacha, and yet he thinks that while in Dine Mominis we say Agav Onse Gomer Makne, in Kiddushin we don't say Kiddusha Kiddushin, then what comes out of the Rambam? Something very profound. And that is that the standards of Ratzon, the need for an unambiguous and a positive rather than a bidyeved pressured agreement, is a requirement for the woman in Isheres, even though it's not a requirement for the Makne in Dine Mamanas. Does that make sense? Sure it makes sense. Right? You wouldn't think that there'd be less das in Isheres than in Mamanas. That there would be equal or more, right, is very reasonable. And we already noted that Rashi, right, in the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin, and it's quoted here on the side of the Gemara on Dab Beis Amid Beis, when he explains midaita in, right, shelo midaita lo, that you need ratzon in Kiddushin, Rashi says because it's a kinyan like any other kinyan, like the Rashba in a way, right? That's equal. But Rashi and Yevamos on Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis quotes a pasuk to teach you the din that you need das of the isha in kiddushin. V'holcha v'hoisa li'ishacher midaita. She does that willingly. So why do you need a pasuk? Why not just say it's the regular das makna, right? So you can say one of three things: either, you know, we wouldn't have known that there was no bal korcha, and therefore kamashmal, and it's the regular das makna, but based on this pasuk, or it really is less than regular ratzon. To me, what makes much more sense than those two is that according to Rashi and Yevamos, maybe the level of das and ratzon that we require is more.
Well, the repercussions are much greater.
Of course. 100%. So now, if that is true, so let's look also at the husband. Because in this question, whether or not the level of das and ratzon required for a kinyan is equal, that ishus is equal to mamanus, or it's less, or it's more, you certainly could argue, right, to distinguish between the role of the husband, role of the wife, the role of the kohen, or the role of the makna. And you could argue it in either direction. On the one hand, you need more das for her, because she's an ishusi, she can't marry anybody else, right? It's once she's in this relationship, where the get midaraisa is his domain, so therefore maybe more than anybody else, more than him, she has to really be 100%. And once she's in the relationship, you could start saying things like tav lemeitav tandu. She has a broader view on it. She's more committed. She doesn't just take a daily look at it. You know, she's in it for the long haul. Fine. The Sefer HaBatim, which is a work on the Rambam by Rav David Kochavi, kind of the end of the Tkufas HaRishonim, one of the Chachmei Prabhans. So he says that the level of das required for the wife is greater than that of the husband. According to the Rambam, says that a coerced kiddushin from the man's side does work. Meaning if there's a shotgun marriage, he's pressured, but he finally agrees to marry her, then it's a good kiddushin. But hers is not.
Because he makes a declaration, which she doesn't.
Maybe, or maybe because he always has the Sefer HaBatim gives a different explanation. He says because he always has an out, and she doesn't. He can be Megarisher. He has an out. He can extricate himself from the situation, so it isn't so terrible to apply the regular Dine Mamanas standards. But she becomes a Chalos Eish Hasish, right? She can't marry anybody else, and she can't get out of this marriage Midat Torah either without his consent. Therefore, the higher requirement of Ratzon and Das is hers. That's his suggestion. Either way, what's interesting is, what's the din in Dine Mamanus if we were to pressure him, or the equivalent of him? What do I mean by the equivalent of him? Is there a gender equivalence in Dine Mamanus? The answer is, of course, not. But I don't mean the gender, I mean the Kona and the Makna. Right? In Ishus, he's the Kona, and she is the Makna. Right? Just like in Get, he's the Makna, and she's the Kona. question is, when it comes to pressured rotzon, is there a difference between the kone or the makne? Meaning the person who acquires or is initiating, or the person who is relinquishing and giving up rights? So in the Gemara, we know of taluya v'zavin, zvini, zvini, agavon sigomer makne. Namely, we know it in terms of the makne. But the Gemara doesn't ever speak about the kone. Is kone equal, better, or worse? Well, the case for equal is not difficult to make. It could it be better or worse? Also, good reason to think. On the one hand, giving up something that you owe, that you own, right, is more difficult, parting with it. In a way, that's what we were talking about the other day, right, when the Gemara, or previously, when the Gemara said, well, every sale is in a way an onus, because you don't want to part company with something you have a connection and a relationship to, right? That's kind of a way of highlighting, but to acquire something new, right? Why do you need so much ratzon for that? On the other hand, the other way to look at it is that in one case you are letting something go as opposed to initiating the acquisition of it, creating a new bond. So which requires more ratzon? Kone or makne? The answer is, it's pretty much, logically, it's a toss-up. Ah, so one second. So look here at the Rajba again. Just give me one more minute. Let's go back to the Rajba. Va'isha, and so this is three lines before the end of the Rajba. What line is it in our things? I don't have the...
Ten.
Va'isha, and so lekadesh, right? Kosav Rambam kiddush of kiddushin. That's the Rambam that we just read. Meaning, if somebody puts a shotgun to his head, that's a little extreme. But somebody pressures him to marry this woman, and finally he agrees, the kiddushin is chal. As opposed to if somebody pressures her, when it's not chal. We're protecting her more than we're protecting him. Right? According to the Rambam. So, Varav Balaitur Katsav She'en kiddush of kiddushin. To Taluy v'zav and Amru, Taluy v'kani lo Amru. Wow. Now the truth is, if you look at the Balaitur, he initially says it's not by kiddushin, but by Mektchomemkar. The Gemara says Taluy v'zav and Zvini Zvini. It doesn't say Taluy v'kani kinyan o kinyan. The Rajba says, the Taluy v'zav and Amru, Taluy v'kani lo Amru. B'nir and Divrei Rambam, the Iagavonse Gomer Vizavin Kalshakin the Gomer Vakani. The Rajba projects that the Itur and the Rambam argue, number one. And then he says, I think the Rambam is right. Namely, that it's easier to acquire something than it is to relinquish something. And therefore, if we say Taluy Vizavin, Kalshakin, Taluy v'kani, but the Itur says Taluy v'zavin, but not Taluy v'kani. But what I would add is the following. Is it so clear that this argument is interchangeable between Dine Mamanis and Dine Ishus? In other words, say Taluy v'zavin zvini zvini, Taluy v'kani lo kinyano kinya. Is that so clear that that's true for the Baal? In an Ishus case? And in the other direction. Right? If the Rambam holds that Taluya the... What I'm saying is, if the Balaitar holds Taluya the Zavin Zvini Zvini, but Taluya the Kani Ein Kinyano Kinyan, right? Is that true for Baal or Kol Shekain for Baal? Right? Is there room to distinguish between Baal and Isha? Either on the Isha side, or on the Baal side. That's really what I'm asking. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that Chazal always refer to the relationship between Kona and the Makna as Lokeach Sameach Vamochir Atzuv. So therefore, generally speaking, the acquisition, the act of acquisition is a more joyous event and probably has...
Well, that's consistent with the Rajba.
You need Listas.
That's the Rajba. Yeah, that's the question, right? So that's the Rajba, basically. But the Itur is saying differently. And they could both be true in different respects. You know.
On the other hand, Moshe says that Isha Bechor Michola. She's never very excited anyway.
Well, I mean, that's we're getting back to Tav Lamed of Tandu, but I don't want to get into that at the moment, because in this case, she's against, so... Okay. So this is you can see this is a very interesting issue. It comes up a little bit in the Shulchan Aruch. There seem to be some discrepancies in the Shulchan Aruch. Before the Shulchan Aruch. The Meiri has this discussion a little bit. The Meiri wants to know whether the din of Huasa Shaloka Hogan, Nasa Lo Shaloka Hogan, which the Gemara says, Ravashi says about the Isha, we protect her, right, even in defiance of the rule of Talui Bazam Zvini Zvini. So maybe that the argument is whether or not that applies to Kiddushei Ha'ish. Just like Kiddushei Ha'isha is different than Mecher, maybe Kiddushei Ha'ish is more chamor than Kinyan. But not because of the objective requirements of Kiddushin versus Achoshe Mishpat Kinyan, but simply because of Asa Shalom Kahogan. That's a perspective. But if you look at Shulchan Aruch and then Ramah, there seem to be discrepancies as to whether we paskin like the Itur or like the Rambam in Choshen Mishpat and in Ishus, and we could possibly make the case for discrepancies on all sides. For example, look here at the small discussion of the Avnei Miluim. He goes the other way with all of this. Look on page, what is it? The last page is what, 5 or 4? 5? So, look at the last piece. Avnei Miluim Simin Mem Beis Sivkatan Aleph. Who is the Avnei Miluim? He was the Ksos HaChoshen, right? He wrote the Shev Shmaitza, he wrote the Ksos HaChoshen, he wrote the Avnei Miluim, right? Very prolific, very important, one of the Achronim. So listen to this. Aval HaIsha Ansuhu, exactly our case, Shulchan Aruch is talking about if you a shotgun marriage, you forced the husband, or you pressured him into marrying this woman. So the Avnei Miluim says, Kosav b'chalkas mechokek. Chalkas mechokek is, one of the main nosei kelim on the Shulchan Aruch Evan Ezer, like you have, the Magen Avraham and the Taz in Aruch Chaim, and you have the Shach and the Sma sometimes, depending on the... So in Evan Ezer you have the Chalkas Bei Shmuel and the Chalkas Mechokek, right? So Kasa Bechalkas Mechokek. The Kula Alma Savri the Kiddushin Mahani Bein Ba'ones Ha'isha Bein Ba'ones HaMekadesh Midina. That everybody holds that in principle, if not for Afginu, right, who also Shalom Kahogan, that in principle, Ones, but agreement as a result of ones, meaning, would work bein b'isha, bein b'ones ha'isha, bein b'ones ha'mekadesh. De taloi v'zavin zvini zvini. Ela de pligi v'takana da'afkin rabban on the kiddushin mineh. The argument, he says, is nothing to do with the itur, or the opposite of the itur, or the way the Rajba, he's saying differently than the Rajba. Rajba thought that the Rabbab said against the Bala Itur. He says, no. Everybody agrees it works. The question is, do you say Afkinu? The Takan of Afkinu. Rabbanan, the Kiddush Mit. L'dasa Rambam lo Afkinu, ele ba'ones ha'isha. Ava ba'ones ha'mekadesh, kivin diocha legaresh bal karcha. He also says, in a way, right? Since there's Kiddush in bal karcha, he can get out of it. So ukma dina. We don't need the huasash, we don't need to protect him extra, because he has his own protections in that he can be megarish. Fine. That's not how the Rajba read the Rambam. Also remember, the assumption here of the Chalkas Mechokek is not only to read the Rambam differently than the Rajba, but also that the Rambam is working with Afkinu, which is something that I am suggesting is not true. And as it happens, the Chassam Sofer also, by the way, in Baal Basra, also makes note of the fact that it doesn't seem like the Rambam is working with Afkinu, even on her, right, being Matan. Vayesh omrim svirulahu, the gamba ones hamakadesh afkinu rabbanu lekidushimine, umizeh hiksha ala ramah besimin reshe, because of this, they asked against the Ramah in Choshen Mishpat. Shekosav ansu likno slomahani. There the Ramah writes, like the Baal Ha'itur, that Taluyiv Azavin Zvini Zvini, but Taluyiv Akani ain kinyano kinyan. In other words, against the Rajba, that it's more difficult to force someone to acquire than it is to force him to relinquish. Okay? So the question would be, Kan Mashma Demahani Ansu L'Kul Alma. He's saying, I don't get it. How come in Choshen Mishpat it seems like the Ramah Paskins, like the Baal Ha'itur, and yet here in Evan Ezer, it seems like the only problem is a problem of policy, but not a problem of substance. In other words, he's suggesting that if you look at the Ramahs, then it may be that in Choshen Mishpat there's a fundamental flaw of Taluya Vikani, and in Kiddushin it's a policy problem. In other words, Kiddushin requires less. V'ikal meidak l'dasa yeshomrim, says the Avnei B'Gurim, d'ansu l'kadesh lo mahani, according to the view that ansu l'kadesh lo mahani, u'mishun l'havale talui v'kani. Maybe it's not midin like the chalkus mechokek afkenu, right? But it's midin talui v'kani. Im kein, heche mishkachas hod amru ones shosa batzitza v'kofen osa lichnos. This is interesting. The Me'iri also addresses this question. We know that a person who is involved in ones is obligated to marry or to offer to marry the victim. If the father and the victim want a marriage to take place, then we force him into that. So he wants to know if you hold that the Rambam Shita of Taluya V'Kaddish the day of it says Taluy v'Kaddish ain Kiddush of Kiddushin is fundamental. It's not just a policy. It's based on the Baal Ha'itur. So how could we apply the obligation of an ones to marry her? Is that a terrible question?
No.
Me'iri asked that question also, and this is the question that the Avnei Miluim asked. Terrible question? No. Why not?
The Torah says onus has to marry her.
No, you're trying to say how? How could it be? It's not just exeris akasov. It's more than that. The point is that by being ma'anes, in a way, he loses his prerogative in terms of das. Now, he basically imposes himself a physical relationship on this unsuspecting person, right? So as a result, he relinquishes his right to exercise, you know, his das. In a way, by doing it's his maisa das. That's his das. In a way.
He has to be makadosh.
What?
He has to be makadosh.
He has to be makadosh. But the point is that normally kiddushin cannot take place without his ratzon. What we're saying is that when he started on this path, in a way, that was an implicit ratzon. If they were, you know, that's the halacha. That's part of the system. If you prefer to say Xeris HaKosuv rather than my rational explanation, you're welcome to it. But, meaning, if you're asking me a methodological question, namely, if you can give an explanation that makes sense, or you can say Xeris HaKosuv, which should you do? That's an interesting meta-halachic question. Since you like these things, you should know that the Chassam Sofer in his drashos, in a few places, says, don't tell me it's Xeris HaKosuv, because if we can explain it, we should try to explain the Xeris HaKosuv. Not everybody agrees with that, but that's a meta-halachic question. If you're saying, I don't think that makes sense, so we'll just say Xeris HaKosuv, that's fine too. But I think it does make sense. What I'm saying is, when he does this, he basically has implicitly, right, agreed or consented that if they want, that's part of, whether he's thinking it or not, that's part of the process of this involvement. Yeah.
Is that because he knows what the possible outcome is?
I'm not sure if he knows it or it is, it's a fair implicit, meaning he has, he's imposed on her certain realities, and it's, whether he's thought about it or not, from objectively, right, there are not just consequences in terms of onesh, but there's an implicit you know, when you limit other people's possibilities, then that is a, you know, that's a path that you are choosing to take. Well, and you can't then, you know, halfway down that path, you know, deny it.
Because if you say that,
so I don't think he even has to know.
Okay,
if he has to know, that would certainly make it easier.
Although that's chicken on the egg.
What?
You know, if you're saying that he has to know that they could force him to marry her, then
I'm not saying he has to know. What I'm saying is it's implicit in what he did. Now the Torah has very strict rules, about this kind of thing, and by violating them, in a way, you know, he is narrowing his own options.
Why don't you simply say that the Torah takes away his choice, right?
You absolutely could say that. I'm trying to explain that it isn't just something that's not logical and that's draconian or that's tit for tat. It's not just an onesh. What I'm saying is it's... Whatever. Either way, I think we all agree that none of us are... It seems like none of us are losing so much sleep over... This is a question that the Be'iri asks earlier in the Rishonim and a question the Avnei Miluim asks. He thinks it's like a killer question. I don't really think it's so terrible. Yeah.
Well, I think the question he's asking is that according to that, marriage isn't a matter of consent because we're forcing you to do something. So how can there be delusion under those circumstances?
Right, so I'm saying...
Well, and that's a serious question because...
No, I understand the question. I'm just saying I think...
Your answer is really making something of a mockery of consent. You say, well, we force him to consent.
No. It's not what I'm saying at all. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the act of ones, which is a, which from his point of view is a kind of an ishus act, in the same way that pitui, we say, mo yumarenet ali isha, and he has to give her, according to the Rambam, a full ksuba, right? I'm not saying we force him to, that, the whole point is that the forced consent doesn't work according to the Bala Itur. What I'm saying is that the act of ones is an act which implicitly, right, is one in which he imposes an ishus relationship upon her, and he can't, he can't walk away from that. He did it already, and that's therefore the beginning of a certain process. That's what I'm saying.
On the other hand, there's no possibility of gerushin by onus.
Correct, for the same reason.
We point out before that because you can be megarashu.
Okay, but it's for the same reason, namely that he imposed this upon her. Right, in a very unilateral way, and therefore, for this, on the contrary, he didn't give her a choice. Right,
could it be,
on that part of it.
Could it be that we also have to bring into discussion the fact that for him, kiddushin is a mitzvah, and for her, it's not?
I don't think it has anything to do with that.
No, and there's a part, and there's a concept of kofin slash yomer rotsani by get because.
I mean, we say kofer nosach yom rotzoni is part of the sugya of talui v'zavi.
He wants to do.
Right. See, so the Ravid says here, v'ushi yom rotzoni.
So he really wants to do a mitzvah. Maybe he wants the kaddish.
I don't think that's the point. Yeah.
To support what you said over 10 times over, I'll say 10 times over. Yeah. The story of Shechem.
Yeah.
Medina.
Right.
Yeah, he wanted to marry her.
Very good. Right, he did something. And it was understood that there were certain consequences to that in terms of falling through. Very good. Excellent. I hadn't thought of that. 100%. Okay. So listen to this. Anyway, that's as far as that question is concerned. Listen to this. Miu, let's go to the final paragraph of the Avnei Miluim. That's a very good raya. Ilulei divrei harajba. Right? Because the Avnei Miluim is quoting the Rajba. Ilulei divrei harajba, nirala niyaz daiti. Even if, generally speaking, because according to the Itur, normally to acquire requires more. Now this is a little bit counterintuitive, meaning the result goes in one direction and the explanation goes in another, in my opinion. Yeah, I understand it. It's just about kiddusha isha eno kinyan legabe baal, the name of the lokana. What he's saying is, and it's based on Kamosha Kasa Varajba, which finish it. The Perakam of the Kiddushin, we'll be speaking more about it. Gabi HaMekadosh Banos Milva, the Havale HaRamas Ribis, V'Kasav Sham, the Lohava Ribis Ketsutza Bazed, the Kona Isha Bam Tanas Mos, Mishum the Ein Gufa Kanu Labav, Alav Midi Shokal, Ein Sham. We've talked a little bit already about the fact that, you know, what does it mean to talk about Ishas as a Kenyan? And I certainly think that the large majority of the Mefarshim think we're not talking about an acquisition. We're not talking about her as an object, Chalila. We're talking about both of them as subjects having a certain kind of relationship. That idea is particularly underscored by the Rajba on Dav Vav, who tries to explain that there's no, like, if he ends up, you know, with saving the Mos Kedushin, you know, as a result of Hamtanas Mos, that's not called Ribis Ketsutza, because it's not considered his getting a wife on the deal, if you will, as the ribis, doesn't count for ribis ketsutza because he doesn't acquire his wife, right? And that's the language that the Rajba used. Ain't a kinyan legabe abal, the name of the lokana. He doesn't acquire her. He ain't gufa kani lebabalav midi shakil. He enters into a bond with her by means of a kinyan. So in a way, the Rajba is trying to downgrade, right, that an aspect of a typical act, like to the start of the year by noting this, right? That's when we think about Kenya, we usually think of a passive cheftza that is acquired, a sadeh, right, an eved, a watch, right? When you talk about a relationship between people, right, that's a different. The answer is because a Kenyan is a legal relationship, and most legal relationships are uneven, and they're about an object and a subject. But there are relationships that are about subjects and subjects, and they too are governed by Kenyanim. In a way, the Rajba is saying this about Kiddushin. He's saying he doesn't acquire her. He's not even emphasizing that he acquires some rights that she has, or she hands over some right. That may be a consequence of the bond between them and the specialization, you know, that takes place in the context of marriage. But fundamentally, it's about two subjects and the legal bond between them. So the Ksos, the Avnei Miluim, does something fascinating here. He invokes that to say, well, maybe for that reason, the standards of Ratzon are lower. Because it's not a kinyan begufa davar. Right? It's just a relationship thing. If you'd asked me, I would have said the opposite. That's what I mean about this being a little ironic. But I totally get what he's saying. What?
It's only for him, not for her.
What do you mean, not for her?
She has to have a much fuller...
That could still be. But on the other hand, of course, ki yikach ish isha v'lo ki tilakach isha l'ish. So in the act of Kedushin itself, she is the niknes and he's the konah. It's interesting, the Avnei Miluim he frequently quotes this Rajba. Frequently. Kedarko, I mean, he, you know, in the Ksos and the things that he writes, there are certain, like all of us, there are certain, like, linchpin ideas that he just expanded upon very, very, you know, very extensively. One of them is this Rajba, namely that he's not acquiring her, they're developing a relationship with each other. The other one is the Ran and Nadarim, Daf Lamed, which basically says, the famous Ran and Nadarim, that says that she in Kiddushin says ki yikach ish isha v'lo tkitilak ach isha l'ish. So her posture in the Maisa Kiddushin, Isha Niknes, is a more passive one. And indeed, she just allows herself, right, to be subject to this Kenyan. She's mafkira as atzma, and then he is able to be kona. That is how the Ran in Nadarim, Daf Lamed, describes, he's trying to explain a certain problem in the Gemara there. So the Avnei Miluim likes that. He likes describing the Baal's Kenyan in a downgraded way because of the Rajba, and he likes downgrading the Isha's role for a totally different reason, namely that the mechanism of how the kinyan actually works is more that she drops a refusal, right, and then he's able, right, to completely initiate and to accomplish the kinyan. That's interesting. But of course, one could have said, you know, "Oh, so what's he saying here?" Let me just finish this. The kivan dein gufa konu libal dein bekidushin kim shenasra al yidei kol haolam. By the way, people make this diak in Rashi too. Rashi says ha'isha niknes libala, right? And then in some places he says li asar al acherim. So some of the achronim say this is Rashi's way of telling you, you know, that even though we learn some dine kinyan kidushin from Kosha Mishpat, Kicha Kicha Mistei Afron, but this is a relationship, it's not an acquisition. So that's what Rashi means, Niknes Labala, right? Li Aser Lacheri. That's the extent of the Kenyan. Anyways, so what he's saying here is, the Kivin Shein Gufa Koni Labal, 1 second, Vein Bekidushin Kim Shenesra Al Yado Kola Kola Olam, that's what we mean by Kenyan, the Kol Kai Gavna Fiol De Onis Mahani, Kivin and Mechuyah B'Devaro. That's why the Kamiyin, Tuliya V'Kani Ein Kinyano Kinyan, but that's what he's acquiring something. Here he's not acquiring something, he's developing a Kesher, a bond between them. There, in that, it's not Tuliya V'Kani, and therefore it'll work. Ironically, again, therefore the standards are lower. Therefore, Havalei Ke'ein Mecher, it's like Zavin, Umishum to Tuliya V'Kani Leisbei, Kivin de Nisha Bataris Kinyan Lagabe Baal, de Engufa Kanu, Lai Vainlo Schia Begufa Isha, Vim Kane, Tamadi Shoman, Lomahani Bansula Kadesh, Mishumafkinu. But the truth is that the same evidence in the opposite direction could have been explained in a parallel way, but with the opposite conclusion. Namely, precisely because, right, it's not acquisition of an object, it's a mutual bond. Right, that is defined by the kinyan. That would be more of a reason, perhaps, to say that we upgrade the requirement of das for him and for her. So it's interesting. We could be mechalek between either of them for either reason. He's ki yikach, she's ki tilakach. On the other hand, she, right, is really committing more and becoming the chalosei shasishas is her. Right. Never mind the get situation, which is what the Sefer Batim. So there is a good, very good logical reasons, right, to be mechalik in either direction when it comes to these issues. There was a question? Yeah.
If the lashon in the ratio of the Mishnah was Aisha Mekudeshet rather than the nickname,
okay,
wouldn't that negate the kona?
But the Gemara already explains that. The Gemara said that we use the language of Kinyan because we wanted to include Kiddushei Kesef. But I was trying to explain more, and that is that we're trying to say that it's not enough to have Ishus, it has to be introduced by Kinyan so that everybody's interests are, that's part of the respect and the safeguarding of interests.
Yeah, I understand the answer of Kesef, but the Gemara wants to harmonize the ratio and the Sefer. So if you would have an Isha Mekudeshet in the ratio, in the Sefer,
you mean the first mission and the second parak of Kiddushin and the first mission in the first parak, or you mean the Sefer and the ratio?
You couldn't use the word Kiddushin or Isha Kona as Atzmo. You couldn't transpose that to Kiddushin.
Right, the Gemara doesn't give that answer, but
and it doesn't.
Right, it's an interesting point. Yeah.
I just was speculating. Maybe if you're coming from Hefker, you don't need as much das as if you're coming from a person that owns something.
Yeah.
Because you've got to take it out of his reshoots.
Right.
But from Hefker, there's no resistance.
Right. Right.
So I mean,
I think that's part of the story too.
Such as foreign.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Okay. So all these paradigms are very interesting. Again, the answer of Onus, I think, is correct. But the idea that either you require more, which I think makes the most sense, both on his side or her side or one of their sides, whichever one you want to argue, is very reasonable. The idea that you would require less is not because the kinyan is less serious, but on the contrary, ironically, just because either the method of the kinyan, the round and the darim, like you're saying, or the scope of the kenyan, which is the Rajba's idea, which comes from a recognition that this is something more. But because it's something more, therefore the kenyan part of it, I guess, is less, and therefore the demands are lower. That's at least what the Avnei Miluim's theory is. I find it ironic, but yeah.
I don't want to open up the can of worms, but the whole issue of Das Ha'Girish and somehow have to reconcile with all these shitos.
Yeah, you're not going to. His,
right. And,
well, Gerushin is a whole tricky issue. Some years ago we learned, it was quite a while time already, but I think what I was trying to explain then was that the Das Lagaresh begins earlier than the moment of the get. It begins in the preparation of the get. It begins earlier than the moment of the Gerushin. Because it's a Doraisa unilateral process, so the commissioning of the writing of the get, and then deciding to give it to Shliach LaHolacha. All those things are phases in a get.
Okay.
Because he has Das L'Garish. Even though the actual Chalos Gerushin doesn't take place until the Nasa B'Yada. But when it does, we see it as having, you know, begun earlier, and that's a big story of Das L'Garish. But it's interesting, I'll tell you one other thing. The Rav is saying the name of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim noted that the din of Talui V'Zavin, which the Gemara also talks about in terms of Korban, Kofenot, what we talked about before, Kofenot So'at Shiyama Rotzani. So there are only two places where the Rambam says explicitly, Rotzani. It's interesting. If you look at the Ravid, in Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph here, on page 2, right, the Rambam that we read, Perek Dalet Halach Aleph. So look at the right, just the last words. I don't know what's the line. Right before the Ksuvus 24. So it says, Omer Avram v'hushi Omer Rotzani. Meaning, this idea that Ha'ish Ansu Acha Kidesh Bal Korcha Rezo Mekudeshe. So the right says, yeah, but he has to say Rotzani. Right? Where's that come from? Because the Gemara says, Agavon Tzegomer Makne. Right? Kofenoso Achi Yomar Rotzani. But Reb Chaim pointed out that if you look in the Rambam, the only time the Rambam ever mentions explicitly that you have to say Rotzani, not here as you can see, is by Gerushin and by Korban. So for some reason, Reb Chaim, at least the way the Rav reported it, was Reb Chaim thought, oh, why Gerushin? Because this part. The Rambam says in the beginning of the Geirushin that there are 10 ingredients in a get. Right? There are 10 requirements. One of them is Das. You have to have Rotzo Lagarish, his. So Reb Chaim said, what do you mean you need Das Lagarish? Every transaction needs Das. The answer is Geirushin, you need more Das. Like kind of what you were asking before, right? But for some reason, the way he reported it was that Reb Chaim extrapolated that, you know, from this din of Gerushin, that there's a special requirement of Das, and that's why it's Kofenoso Achioma Rotzani, you need to say Rotzani, he, that's who I didn't be Kedushin. I mean, what the Rambam says about Gerushin, about the requirement of Das, you know, and therefore the need for Rotzani, that both of those elements would apply to Kiddushin too. But the truth is, Ram doesn't say it in Kiddushin. If you ask me, I would say that's a function of what I said before, which is that Gerushin is, Minat Torah, is a one-sided affair. It's unilateral. And it relates to the early stages too. Das Lagarish is just a different animal. It's a different birya in Gerushin than it is in Kiddushin, which is totally consensual. Right? And even then Dine Mamanis for that matter. So that's something to look into. You're absolutely correct.
We don't have a Teluyo Lagarish Harusha.
Right. But in a way that we are saying that that's a case of Kofenos Hachama Rotzani. That's one of the examples. Yeah. Okay.
That's the base in his Kofenos, but if a stranger comes and puts a gun to his head, that's not Kofenos Hachama Rotzani.
Okay, true. true. What would happen if Bezin was kofa in some other case, though? Right?
No, but what would happen? What would be the Nesami put a gun to his head and said?
Well, we say that it could be that there's another problem. That's there's something called a get meusa, which is a problem. But in Ochanan, okay.
Does this apply to Mamar as well? In other words, you also need Ratzon between the Yidum and
the Yidum. Well, Mamar is a Drabanan.
What?
It's a Din Drabanan.
So there you do need Ratzon.
Well, you need Ratzon.
It's like Kiddushin, isn't it?
Yeah. So why would it be different? It's only the Drabanan, but it's treated as Kiddushin for in the context of Yibum. Yeah. Okay. This idea that maybe you require a higher level, again, Avnei Milum is trying to justify, both for the Baal and the Isha in different ways, for the Rajba, with the Rajba and the Ran and the Darim, that the requirements of Das in Ishus are there, but they're more minimal in Ishus than in the Yimamidus. To me, as I'm saying before, it makes sense to say the opposite. And I think that's why the Rambam says, Einisha Miskadesha Salamidaita, and then he has the bulk core. I think that's part of the double formulation of the Rambam. And everything else that we were saying, I don't think the Rambam's working with Avginu, like the Chassam Sofer. So from the Rambam itself, I think what emerges is higher level of Das. So having said that, it's interesting to note a couple of other things. And here Reb Chaim is on board with some of these as well. We already talked about the Gezeiras HaKasuvs. But let me give you two other, or three other issues very quickly. One is the din of Ketana, of course. Right? A Ketana can be Miskadeshes Min HaTorah if her father gives her to Kiddushin. But the question is, what about the Das or the Ratzon there? So the rule, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, in the beginning of the second parak, Ketana Shin Iskatsha Shalola Das Avia, that if she gets married without her father's consent, the achar kach nisratza ha'av, the father agrees, even though he finally agrees, but he didn't agree at the time of the kiddushin, it's not chal. In other words, it's not enough just to get his consent after the fact. It has to be part of the process. So that works nicely with the, is that true in Dine Maminus? Not so clear. Let's say somebody is, you know, you need somebody's agreement, and, you know, the beginning of the process is done, you know, without it. Is it enough that it be, you know, is it sufficient that it be, you know, there at some point in the process, or does it need to be there, you know, at the outset? That's one. The second one, of course, according to Chaim at least, is the notion of Edekiyum. We've talked about this in the past, not this year, but what's the idea of Edekiyum? So the Gemara says in Kiddushin Samachem and Beis, if you have it, I'll just turn to it for a minute. Those of you who have Gemaras, which I think most people do. Samachem and Beis, 65b. So yeah. The Gemara originally is discussing the following question. Hamekadesh b'fnei ein echad, whether choshen l'kiddushin or not. Look here, for example, Omar Rabba bar Rav Huna. Come on, starts earlier, but earlier. What is it? Omar Rav Yitzhak bar Shmuel bar Marta mishmei derav. This is 3, 6, 8 lines down from the top of the page. Hamekadesh b'fnei ein echad and choshen l'kiddusha. Everybody have it? If a kiddushin takes place in the presence of only one witness, so we ignore that. We're not worried about it. What do you mean we're not worried about it? I mean, she's not an Eishes Ish. If she decides she wants to marry someone else, that's fine. She doesn't need a divorce. Nothing happened. And then the Gemara says, Afilu Shneim Modim. Even if both of them agreed that it happened. Right? So then the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna B'kadosh Beit Echad Beidina Rabba Amri Ein Kol Shel Kiddushin. Mam Beidina Rabba Rav, Ikadami Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Kadosh Befnei Echad Beidina Rabba Amri Ein Kol Shel Kiddushin. Mam Beidina Rabba Rebbe. Okay. and so on. Skip a little bit. The Gemara says, "My Havala." This is almost in the middle of the page. You see the Tosas Nitmu Tarosecha? It's one line up. Everybody have it? The Gemara says, "My Havala." Rav Kahana Amar Ein Choshishin LeKedusha. Rav Pop Amar Choshishin LeKedusha. Right, there's a debate whether we take it seriously or not. Most Rishonim Paskin we don't. In Shulchan Aruch it's a little complicated. Some people do take it seriously. Most people don't. But then the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Ashi L'Rav Kahana, my daitech. Why don't you, why aren't you worried about this Kiddushin that took place in the presence of an Eid Echad, or that both of them agree took place? The Yalfis Davar Davar Mimamon. We learn out the requirement of Eidus, right? Davar Davar Mimamon. Imala Hala Nados Baldin Kemedim Dami. Afkan Hados Baldin Kemedim Dami. Right? And it comes to Dini Maminus, if Reuven and Shimon agreed that he sold his field to him, Shimon said, I admit it, I sold my field to Reuven. Or my watch. Right? So even without any witnesses, we say, Hodos Baldin Kemedim Dami. So why don't we say it here? So this is a very important Gemara. The Gemara says, Amalei, Hasam lo kachai v'lachrini. Hacha kachai v'lachrini. The difference is, well, Reuven and Shimon are talking about the sale of his field. The only people involved are Reuven and Shimon. They're the only interested parties. But when it comes to a marriage, it's chav lachrini. Other people are affected by this as well. And therefore, there's no din of hodas baldin kemedim. Roughly speaking, this is the makar for the requirement of what we call Eidei Kiyum. Even though the language of Eidei Kiyum comes from the next Gemara, look at the next Gemara for a minute. The Gemara says, Mar Zutrav Rav Ada Saba B'nei Rav Mori Bar Iser Palig Nichsayu Bahane Adadi. These two people split their property between them. They split up their partnership. Also, L'kamed Rav Ashi, they came to Rav Ashi. Unrelated, they said to him, Al Pishnai made him Amrachman Adi Boyle Meheder L'motzi Hodri Behu Banan Lo Hodri. Does the requirement of two Eidim mean that, right, that without Eidim nothing has happened? O Dilma Lo Mekayim Milsa L'Bis. I'm sorry. Does it mean Di Boyle Meheder L'motzi Hodri Behu? Meaning that if, you know, we want to, if we're arguing and we have to prove our case in court, so Eidim play a role. But since we're admitting, both of us, that this event took place, neither of us can be recanting our commitment. O Dilma, Lo Mekayma, this is where the language of Eidei Kiyum comes from. People just don't realize it. Lo Mekayma Milsa, Ela B'Sahadi. Or is the idea that without the presence of witnesses, no legal event has taken place. Therefore, we can admit and tell the truth all day long, but it still doesn't mean anything. It's inconsequential because legally, it's not a binding transaction if there aren't witnesses. So the Gemara says, Amalahu lo ibri sahadi el l'shakri. No, the role of witnesses is to preclude lying, right? But the transaction doesn't require the presence of witnesses. Oh, that's what the Gemara says. So, the question is as follows. And when it comes to Kiddushin, where we say Chav Lachrini, and we don't believe in Hodas Baldin Kemedim Dami, does that have anything to do with the notion of Eidus L'Kiyume Milsa? Or is Eidus still Lo Ibri Sahadi El L'Shakri? It's still about truth and falsehood, just that we're not going to chance it. We just don't believe him. Hodas Baldin is not Kemedim Dami because there are more parties affected by this transaction than the two who are Modeh. Right? And therefore you need witnesses. But the role of the witnesses is not to be a validating or presence. It's to be a hedge against lying or establishing the truth, a way of establishing the truth. That's the discussion. Do we require Eidei Birur for Ishus, or do we require what we call Eidei Kiyum? The language of Kiyum actually comes from the suggestion in Dine Maminus that was rejected in Dine Maminus, but maybe it echoes back into Ishus. Okay. So, the Ritva, for one, in the second parak of Kiddushin, not here, but on Daf Mem Beis, takes this view, doesn't explain the language and so on, but he says you should know, in Kiddushin, the requirement of witnesses is not just that they cannot lie. It's to be a validating presence. And therefore, he says, when a man gives a pruta to a woman, right, and he doesn't know that there are witnesses, and she doesn't know there are witnesses, but there happen to be witnesses, machori ageder, says the Ritva, even though there are witnesses, right, it's not binding. Because the baledinim need to know about the witnesses. Not only because otherwise they could say, Meshat ani bach, like, oh, I didn't, you know, it was for, you know, for play or to impress, you know, each other. You know, I didn't think it would be, I mean, I knew we could always lie our way out of it, or we didn't mean it because it weren't, that's how some Rishonim say, if there are Eidim, Achari, Aged there, you could say Meshat ani bach. That's how the Ritva says. He says, in addition to Meshat ani bach, what you could say is, even if there's no Meshat ani bach, if the Bali Dinim don't know of the Edim, then the Edim aren't the validating presence. Then he adds that at a wedding, you have to be Miyached Edim. This all comes from this Ritva. I mean, you have to specify who the Edim are, and that they are the only Edim. Why? Because otherwise, you run the risk of Psulim and Krovim, right, being Mitzdarev to the Kat, joining into the pool of witnesses, and we have a rule that Eidus Shabbat L'Mitzasa Batla Kula. Right? Even though you only need two witnesses, everybody is a witness, and if there's any problem in the Kat, everybody loses. So the Ritva says, I normally think, there's a debate between Rashi and the Bali Tosas, what is the critical moment for Eidus? Is it the time of Re'iya, when you see the event? Or is it when you come to court to testify? For the din of Eidus Shabbat L'Mitzasa Batla Kula, for example, there's a discussion in first parak of Makos. So the Rashi says it's a big problem because Shas Re'iya is the determinative moment for Eidus. And if two people, you know, if one of the Eidim who sees and intends to be part of the Kat is a car of apostle, then it's bottom of the Tosafot. The Bali Tosafot say, no, that isn't a problem. Really, it depends on Haggadah beBezdin. Right? Seeing is nothing. If they come to Bezdin and they're testifying, and they come as a group, and they're Krovim and Psulim together, that's bottom of the Tosafot. So what am I telling you? So the Ritva says, I normally hold like the Bali Tosafot, which is that Batla Batasa Batla Kula is contingent upon not presence or visual connection, Riya, but Haggadah, the Bezdin. He says, but that's true for Ede Birur, for 99% of the Edis in the world, which are about Lo Ibri Sahadi El Shakri, meaning it's all about telling the truth and verifying what took place. So as far as that is concerned, the critical moment is when you come to court and you testify. At the, you know, you enter, you know, your words into the permanent court or the judicial record. Is there such a thing as a judicial record?
Yeah.
You don't seem so excited about it, but okay. However, you know, I'm trying to speak your language. However, he says, when it comes to Kiddushin, it's a different kind of Eidus. The purpose of the Eidus is not to make sure they're not lying or to verify that it happened. It's the validating or what I call solemnizing presence of the Eidim at the time of the transcendent creation of an Ishus. That's what it is. So that, he says, depends on the Re'iya. And since it depends on the Re'iya, you better be Miyache the Eidim because you're going to have Batla Matos Batla Kula problem, which is why in the Sadre Kedushin, you know, try to make sure that there's some sort of Yichud Eidim. Okay, why am I telling you this? So this idea of the Ritva is not quoted at all by Reb Chaim, but it is also his perspective. I don't know whether he knew the Ritva or not, but Reb Chaim in Hilchos Yibum V'Chalitza asked the following question. Why is it... I'm already over time. So we'll close with this and then we'll talk about Nisuin to finish this whole thing up next time. But let me just finish with the point. Reb Chaim says, how come in certain halachos, like chalitza, we find that a katan or a ktana can participate as long as there's adult supervision? Gadol omed al gabav. We say, even though the katan or the ktana is inadequate, the adult supervision, you know, fills in the gaps in terms of das and ratza. Right? What's that? Shkita is a good example. Chalitza works that way. He says, but we don't find that in other things. For example, in Kiddushin, right? A ktana, right? It doesn't, a gadol omed al gabav doesn't work unless it's the father, because that's the father's prerogative. That's something else. His das. But the participation of a ktana, the gadol omed al gabav doesn't work. Or gittin. How come? So Reb Chaim says, because basically, wherever there's a requirement of Edei Kiyum, that also signifies that what's taking place isn't just a simple physical transaction, it's the creation of a new legal status, stature and status, the Yetzirat Zachalos. And when that is happening, it's not enough to have Ratzon, agreement, assent. Assent you can get even with adult supervision. What you need is Das, a more profound awareness and agreement to what takes place. In other words, according to Reb Chaim, Edei Kiyum, when they are required, that also signifies that a higher level of Das is required. And therefore, the rules governing Katan and Ketana are commensurate with the requirement of Edei Kiyum. When it comes to Chalitza, you don't need Edei Kiyum. I mean, you can have God alone without Gabav. In Kiddushin and Gerushin, you need Edei Kiyum and you can't have God alone without Gabav. So what I'm trying to say is, this is Reb Chaim's way of explaining that Ishus is different than Mamonis, and that the level of Das and Ratzon is higher as well. Exactly what we've been trying to explain. So I want to discuss that and Chuppah, Nisuin, next time when we finish this off, and then move on to the next Gemara of Gimel Amud Aleph.